Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Chav Bet Amud Aleph. We're continuing with the discussion about whether people can stymie competition or refuse to allow certain craft or artisan to come into a city in order to protect their existing business. So we had the position of Rabbi Huna Breid Rav Shua, who differentiated between where the other party is coming from. And Rabbi Huna Breid Rav Shua made it clear that if you came from another city, then you were not entitled to come in here and compete in this city. Whereas when it comes inside of the internal, I mean, if it's the same chatzer, we said there, or the same mavui, then the individual is permitted to open up. And Rabbi Huna Breid Rav Shua holds like the Rabbanan, that we do not stop or competition over here. The question was issues, and we saw this Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua between those two extremes. But nevertheless, we know from Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua that you're not permitted from one city to another to come in and compete. So that is an exception. And that's what we're going to begin at the top of Chav Bet Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kumod Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua Beruchlin, Bachzirin Bayerot. And when it comes to spice or perfume sellers that go around from city to city, Loma Atzim Akev, then you cannot stop them from coming into the city to sell. Damar Mar, Ezra Tikan Na Yisrael, Shei Ruchlin, Machzirin Bayerot, that there's a takanat Ezra, that the perfume sellers are allowed to go around from city to city, Kadeshu Tachshitin Mitzuyin Levnot Yisrael, so that the Jewish women would always have available to them perfumes and makeup and items in which to make themselves beautiful. Now, Vahani Mili Adure, that's only if they are traveling salesmen, meaning that they are moving around from city to city. Aval Gvuya, if they want to come and set up shop here and to stay here, permanent, lo, then they can be ma'akib with them, meaning that the competition is allowed from Takanat Ezra from the sense that we allow for these perfume sellers or these makeup sellers to move around from city to city in order that the women have what they need. But if he's going to come and set up shop and there's already someone in the city with that type of setup, then we're going to say you're not adding anything here and that's not part of Takanat Ezra. On the other hand, if he's a Talmud Chacham, a young Talmud Chacham, I feel like Vuyei Nami, then we even allow him to come and set up shop here in the new city, even though he's coming from the outside of the city. Just like the case of Rava, the Sharaluhu, the Rabbi Oshia, the Rabbi Uvadia, these two young Talmud Chacham, Rava permitted like Vuyei in order to set up shop, even though it seems to be that there were already people doing the same in this city, and therefore it would have been what we call inappropriate competition. Now, what does it mean, not like the halacha? Not like the halacha, Rashi says, mean lifnim mishurat adin. They did lifnim mishurat adin. Mishurat adin, they were not permitted to come and set up shop, but Rava permitted them lifnim mishurat adin. Now, lifnim mishurat adin, it's a little strange here, because it's lifnim mishurat adin for them, but it's problematic for the other party. Reino Gershom, on the other hand, says, no, what does it mean, delok hilchasa? Mean that not like the halacha, because people shouldn't learn from Rava to do this, right? Because he did lifnim mishurat adin. Because they were a banan, he did a specific or made a specific allowance for them, but you shouldn't learn or be koveyad alocha in this way. So that means a loke hilkasa. Don't paskan alocha based on what Rava did over here. My time up. Why did Rava permit it? I mean, if it's not like halacha, why did Rava permit it? Came into Rabbanan and who? Atu the Taradu Migirsayu. If we force them to travel around from city to city, they're not going to be able to keep up with their learning or to remember that which they're learning. So in order to provide the opportunity for them to review over their learning and to increase their learning and their ability to retain their learning, we say, okay, they can come and settle down versus having to travel around. So now, Hanu Dikulai, the Ati Diklai, the Bavel, there were these basket sellers, they're bringing, you know, made out of palm leaves, that they came to Bavel. Atu B'nei Bato, the people of the city, come Akveloi, and they said, you can't come here, that's unfair competition. We already sell baskets here, we don't need you to come. Atu, the Kamei de Ravino, they came before Ravino. Amar Lahu, Mi Alma Atu, Uli Alma, Uli Zabnu. So they came before Ravina, and Ravina says, listen, they're coming from outside the city. So true, they're not permitted to sell to the people of the city, right? But nevertheless, they are allowed to sell to people from outside of the city. Well, how does that work? That is, Ani Mile Biyoma Deshuka. When does that take place? That's on the day of the Shuk. On the day of Shuk, the people selling in the Shuk, right, are selling to a broader audience than them, those are just in the city. Therefore, when the Shuk, which is open to many people from outside the city, so if buyers are coming from out of the city, then sellers should also be permitted to come from out of the city. If it's not the day of the Shuk, lo, then they should not be permitted to sell. Then it's unfair competition or inappropriate competition when they're competing against the local merchants who are selling to the local customers or the local population. On the other hand, if there's a Yom HaShuk where the population that comes to purchase there is not only from the city but from the outside, then we should also permit outsiders to set up shop and to sell in that period of time. And in the Yom HaShuk, we also say, El Lizvuni B'Shuka, that you're only allowed to sell in the Shuk itself, meaning you're only allowed to sell in the market where the people come to buy. Aval Adurei Lo, but to go around the parts of the city, meaning to be a salesman in the city and to go around the city itself, that's not permitted, because then again, you're selling to the local population, and that's not what we're permitting you to do over here. What we are permitting you to do is sell to outsiders, and the only way you can do that is if you're set up in the Shuk, and you can only do it on the Yom HaShuk, because that's when the outsiders are here. So Hanu Amurai, the Aite Amra, Imra, the Fulman Aro. So these people, these wool sellers, brought wool into the place Pumnara, and to Bnei Mato, and the people of the city, come Akfele, and they wanted to prevent them from entering the city or to sell in the city because of encroaching on their business. So Ato the Kameter of Kahanos, they went to Kahavram, and who, Dino who de Akfeleichu. That Rav Kahana said, listen, they're doing the right thing. They are allowed to prevent you from entering into the city and to compete here. To Amarlu, Itlan Ashrai. He says, listen, we have credit in the city, not credit for themselves, but they've lent money. They've sold items to people in the city and they owe us money. So we need to hang around to collect the money that which we sold. So Amarlu, Zilu Zavnu Shiru Chiyu Tehechu. Okay, true. You can stay here. Well, you can sell enough to sustain yourselves while you're here. Not to make profits, not to make money, but enough, meaning, kedei chayav, you're allowed to, whatever you need to eat until, what? Ad akrit to ashray, until your credit that you extended to others is paid down, and then you have to go. It would be interesting if they had to sell kedei chayechu, they extended credit to do that, right? Then you could have such a, almost asymptotic type of situation where they continue to extend credit in order to stay in the city. So I assume that obviously they could only sell at cash, for cash, for kedei chayutechu, in order then to collect from the credit that they'd extended, or collect, or remain there to collect from the credit that they'd extended until that point in time. Rav Dimri Narda, Atu Gerurot Besvina. He brought these dried figs in a boat. Amale Rish Gluta the Ravo. So Rish Gluta says to Ravo, Po Chazi Yitzurma de Rabbanon Hu. Says, listen, go find out if he's a Tzurma de Rabbanon. He's a young Tamar Chacham. Then go ahead and Naki Le Shuka. Make a special Yom HaShuk for him. But that Yom HaShuk will be exclusive, meaning that nobody else in the city will be able to sell dried figs, meaning that he will have, in a sense, a monopoly for that day in order to sell out his merchandise to support the Talmidei Chachamim. We've seen that before, this idea that, right, in Baba Metzia, where there would be certain Talmidei Chachamim were granted tax-free status, or wherever they went, they were granted the ability to sell or create a Yom HaShuk where they prevented others from competing. So the same type of idea here. So I have to find out if he's a Tzurban de Rabbanan. So Amalei Rava the Rav Adar Ba'avo. So Rava says to his Talmid, Rav Adar Ba'avo, Pok Tahile Bikan Kenei. Go smell his wine, meaning go smell the barrel. Go find out if this guy is really a young Talmid Chacham. Is he a Tzurban de Rabbanan? So Nakav Azal. So he went ahead, Rav Adar went out. Ba'imine. He asked the Mishaila to find out if he's really a Talmid Chacham. Pil Shabalak Fifa. A elephant that swallows a basket, a kifa mitzrit, a Egyptian basket, v'ikia, and then he releases it. But how does he release it? Derech beit arei, meaning through that he defecates and he releases it through his dung. Mahu, what's the din of this basket? So lo avi biode wasn't in his hand. So Rabbeinu Tam discusses a little bit about what the exact case is over here, because the situation is not clear. If it swallowed something that was already a basket and comes out as a basket, then what's the question? We know that something, a kli that becomes tamer, because bekavu tuma is never removed from that unless there's a shinoi, something changed about it. So you need a change in order for it not to be tuma. So the Tosu suggests an unbelievable case over here, which is that the case or the situation is where he actually swallowed branches, or the balahutzin, vavdinu kfifa, and in his body they came together to form some form of basket. So then the question is, what is the situation? The basket that's formed from these leaves, do we consider it as to be digested? If it's digested, then it has a status of kli glalalim, which is kelim made out of dung. Kelim made out of dung are not mikabel tuma. Or maybe not. Maybe because he swallowed the hutzin, he swallowed these leaves, and that's what came out, and that's what makes the basket, and it's not classified as kli glalalim. And that is what they were asking, whether when it comes out of his back, is that now dung, or is that a basket? So what is the status of this item? So lo avi biode, he didn't know the answer to this. So amalei marnihu rova. So the Rav Dimi Meradoh says to Rav Adar Ba'avo, are you rova? Because he had heard that there was a big gadol in the city, rova, are you this rova? So tafik le b'sandale. So he tapped him with his sandal. Sounds like this from the Rabbeinu Gershom explains that it's Rav Ado tapped or on Rav Dimi's sandal. I mean, they kind of dismissed him in that manner. The possibilities, you could also read that Rav Dimi did that to Rav Ador Ba'avo, that he went ahead and tapped his sandal, meaning that if you're not Rava, then Amalei, Ben Didi the Rava, Ikatuva. Between me and Rava, there are a lot of people, or there's a big difference. I mean, Rava is a big man, I'm not that, I'm his Talmud. Mio, but now, Akorchach Ana Rabich, I am your Rebbe, because you don't know the answer to this question that I'm asking you, and it seems like he did. V'Rava, Rava the Rabach. And now Rava is the Rebbe of your Rebbe, because I'm your Rebbe, Rava is my Rebbe, so by the transitive property, he is now the Rebbe of your Rebbe. So lo nakat le shuka. So they didn't set up a shuk for him because he didn't qualify as a tzuber in the Ramana. Pasid grugurot didei. His grugurot, his dried figs went bad. After the command of Yosef, he went to Rav Yosef. He was upset by how they had treated him, and of course the monetary loss that he had suffered. Like Hazimar my avduli, do you see? Says to Rav Yosef, you see how they treated me? The one who doesn't, meaning referring to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who doesn't allow the embarrassment of the king of Edom to go, he will not allow your embarrassment to be gone unpunished. Because the Pasuk says, three sins of Moab, and then the fourth one I will not return them. So that they don't, the fact that they did it in such a degrading way, and they treated the Melech Edom in such an embarrassing way, therefore, they will be punished by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes care of an Edomi, Melech Edom, because of his embarrassment, so too he'll take care of your embarrassment. Don't worry about it. So what happens? So Rav Ador Ba'avo passed away. Oh my goodness, he passed away. So now all the Talmidei Chachamim or Maraim who had interacted with him blame themselves for his death. So his Rav Ba'avo had, it seems to be that he was able to offend many people. And because of that, they all had some sort of beef with him. And because of that, they all felt guilty about his death. Now, Tosos says the reason that they all felt guilty about this is because anybody who causes another person to die because of their actions or what they've said, then they're not Bnei Olam Abba. They're not Nichnasim L'Chaser Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chaser of the Shechinah. So that's what they're all worried about over here. I think you could also suggest that we see in other places when it comes to a Chabura that has a group of individuals or people that has someone who passes away amongst the friends, then each one of them has to be introspective. They have to look into themselves and say, right, we shake the whole pile. All the chabura is shaken when someone is lost in the chabura, and everybody has to have some sort of introspection. So over here, Rav Yosef Amar, Ana Nishte. Rav Yosef says, I'm the cause of Rav Ador Ba'avo's death, the Ana Laitiyai, because I was Laitiyate. I was the one who cursed him. Rav Dimi Medar Amar, Ana Nishte. I was the cause of his death, the Afsid Gugro Didi, because he caused the loss of my figs, and because of that, I got upset, and I went to Rav Yosef, so I'm the one who caused the problem. Bayamar Ana Anishte. Rabbi says, I caused his death. Why? Damalu Rabbanan. Rav Ador Ba'avo used to go around and tell all the Rabbanan, Ademegar Mitu Garmeg Be Abaye. And before you go over and get like bones or scraps in the base measure of Abaye, Tu Achu Bisra Shmeina Be Rava. Come and eat real meat and get full in the base measures of Rava. Meaning that he was trying to convince, he was a Talmud of Rava, and he was trying to convince the Talmidim to come to Rava and learn by Rava instead of by Abaye. So Abaye was obviously upset or Ne'alav because of this, and then he says, it's my fault because I was upset at him. That's why he passed away. Rav Amar Ana Nishte, Rav himself, who's his Rebbe, said, I caused his death. The Chavazlo Beit Tibcho, when he used to go to the butcher shop, Rav Ador Ba'avo and Mishkol Umsa to buy some meat or some raw meat in the butcher shop, Amalu the Tabcha, he would say to the butchers, Ana Shalkuno Bistra Mikame Shmei the Rav. I get before the servant of Rav, meaning that Rav's servants used to go and buy the meat for him. So when he was in there, he said, I get before those servants, Dana Difna Minei, because I'm greater than him. It's not clear what he was saying here. I'm assuming he was saying that he was greater than the servants of Rava, or maybe Rava took offense by the fact maybe he was even saying that I'm bigger than Rava and I should get first. Oh no, it makes more sense, or it seems more plausible that he was suggesting that he should go before the servants of Rava. So Rava took offense to this because his servants were acting on his behalf and they should have taken precedence over Rav Ador Ba'avo. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Ana Nishte. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I really caused his death. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Reish Kalahavo, he was the Dorish. When it came to Dorish Rabim on the Shabbatot, that was Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he was appointed. Kol Yom Mikame Dinei Ola Kala. Every time that he would go, before he would go into the Kala, Marid Badei Rav Ador Ba'avo. Rav Ador Ba'avo would go over with him, do Chazor with him, L'Shmaite. They would help him Chazor V'Shmaite, and help him prepare for giving the Shir. Rav Ador Ayol Kala, and then he would go give the Shir. So Rav Ador Ba'avo was the prep, the coach, before he went in. How Yamun Naktu Rav Papa Rav Huna Brei the Rav Shua. One day Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei the Shua grabbed the Rav Adar Ba'ava. Shum Dolavo B'Siyuma. They weren't there at the end. The end of what? It's not clear what they were not there for. Rashi gives two interpretations. Some say that they were not there when Rav Nachman Bayitzk was appointed to be the Reish Kala. But the second opinion that Rashi brings, which seems to make more sense, which is that they were not there at the end of the drusha of Rava. And Rav Adar Ba'ava, who was a Talmud of Rava, was there. So they were asking what Rava said at the end. Tell us about Ma'aser Behema. Ma'aser Behema, the perek that deals with Ma'aser Behema is at the end of Bechorot, the end of Masechet Bechorot. So they had left earlier, they weren't able to be there, so they want to know the conclusion of the Shir on Bechorot, which is about Ma'aser Behema. Hechaminu Rava. So he says, what did Rava say? He went ahead and explained this. Right, this is what Rava said, and he went ahead and he gave them the whole Shir over. He's giving them a Shir Chazara. So Adahach, the Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. At that point, he was late to go over the stuff with Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak was late in giving his Shir. Amalei Rabbanan, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, kum nagalan. Get up and give the drasha. It's already late. Kum, right? Nagalan, it's already late. Lama Yativ Mar, why are you sitting around waiting? So Amalehu, he said back to the Talmidim that were waiting for him to give the drasha, Yativna, Vekamintara, I'm sitting here and waiting for the Arsay, the Rav Adar Ba'ava, to see the casket, right, or the basket of Rav Adar Ba'ava. I mean that I'm expecting Rav Adar Ba'ava, who's now passed away, to come over here. So he was offended or he was slighted by the fact Rav Adar Ba'ava didn't show up to Chazer with him, and there he was embarrassed because he couldn't give the drasha. He needed to go over it with Rav Adar Ba'ava. The fact that Rav Adar Ba'ava was late now caused him to be embarrassed. So he says, I'm waiting for his casket to show up, meaning that I'm so upset at him that he should die, almost. And sure enough, there came the rumor or the news that Nachman Shei the Rav Ba'ava, that he passed away. Umistaver, the Gemara says, the Rav Nachman Yitzchak Anshe. Sounds like Rav Nachman Yitzchak was the one who punished him because that seemed to be the most direct. I mean that Rav Nachman Yitzchak specifically says that I want him, basically, he's going to die because of this embarrassment to the way that he left me. And therefore, it makes the most sense, even though Rav Yosef had cursed them, but he didn't specify what the curse was or how the retribution would be taken. Here, Rav Nachman Yitzchak was much more directed in terms of what he thought would happen to Rav Adar Ba'ava, as well as the embarrassment that he faced because Rav Adar Ba'ava did not show up. Now, next Mishnah discusses Mishia Kotlo. It seems somewhat of an ambiguous or unclear Mishnah, so the Gemara will discuss that. Mishia Kotlo Samech Samoch Lakota Chavira. Someone has a wall that's near his friend's wall. Lo Yismach Lo Kotel Acher. You should put another wall there. Elim Kenya Chik Min Arba Amot. Unless he distances it 4 amot. So it's clear what wall was there first. What is he trying to add? That the Gemara will discuss. Achol Nenot. If you are against a window, Ben Mila Malan, if you want to build a wall opposite windows, whether you are building the wall higher than the windows, Ben Mila Mato, and you're building the wall lower than the windows, Ben Kenegdam, or you're doing the wall immediately opposite the windows, you have to leave 4 amot. And the Gemara will explain why you have to leave 4 amot, both. It has to be 4 amot higher than the window, 4 amot more than 4 amot lower than the window, and more than 4 amot away from the window. Why is that? The Gemara will discuss. Now the Gemara says, "V'kama hechisamich." Gemara wants to know. Wait a minute. You're saying that you have a kotel samach l'kotel chaveru. You have one wall that's already near your friend's wall. Don't put another wall 4 amot. Gemara wants to know. Well, how did the first guy get his wall there? I mean, if it's inappropriate to put it up with 4 amot, how did he get his wall there? So I'm going to review the achikama. This is what it means. Haba lismoch lo yismoch elim ken hirchik v'menu abra amot. That the Gemara's the statement of the Mishnah is that if you're coming to distance from your friend's wall, you must do it more than 4 amot away. So Matkiv Rabbah, Rabbah asked the obvious question. That's not what the Mishnah says. It says when your wall is close to your friend's wall, right, don't put it up within 4 amot. So it doesn't sound like this was a question about the first person putting up his wall, that he must be 4 amot away. So that doesn't sound like the issue. Ella, Amar Rava Hachitani. This is the issue of the Mishnah. Misha Yakot Lo Samoch Lo Kotel Chaveru. Someone who has a wall against the wall of his friend, meaning close, Birachol Arba Amot. That they have two walls that are adjacent, right, that run parallel to each other. And then Benafal, one of the walls fell down. Lo Yismoch Lo Kotel. He should not acher. He shouldn't put up another wall. Elim Keni Chikmen Odal Amot. Just like before, between the two walls, there was a space of 4 amot. So too now, he must place 4 amot between them. My time. What's the reason you need 4 amot between the two walls? The davsha, in order that people can walk between the two walls. When they walk between the two walls, they pat down or they compress the dirt between the walls, and that helps to make the foundation of the walls more or structurally better, and the foundation will hold the walls up, and therefore we say you must leave those 4 amot to allow the hachad ma'ale l'hatam, because otherwise if it's not more than 4 amot between the walls, people will not walk between the walls. There's not enough space or room for them to walk. So in order to allow for the people to walk through, they must have them 4 amot apart. And when they have them 4 amot apart, it'll be beneficial to both walls because the compressed earth that is walked on will help the support the structure of the walls. So I'm a Rav, lo shanu el kotul gina. That's only true of a garden wall. Why is it true of a garden wall? Because a garden wall only gets walked on or walked near on one side. On the inside of the wall, you don't walk on it because there's a garden, there's vegetables or plants there. Therefore, nobody walks on the inside. So therefore, you need on the outside to have it walk or people walk there in order to compress the dirt on the outside. Therefore, you must leave 4 amot between the walls. Aval kotel chatzer, when it comes to a wall in a chatzer, in a courtyard, in Bali smoke somech, you can put it right up adjacent to the other wall. Why? Because then on the other side of the wall, meaning on this, the interior of the chatzer, they can walk right up against the wall and that will compress the earth over there. So you don't need it on both sides, you only need it on one side. And since in the chatzer you can walk on that one side, it's fine. Rioshi omer, echad kotel gina, echad kotel chatzer, makes no difference when it comes to a gina, a garden, or a chatzer. Bali smoke, eno somech, you may not put it adjacent or parallel to the other wall unless there's 4 amot separate. They do not argue. Has to do whether it's a new or old city. Meaning that in an old city where the internals are already, or the internal chatzirot already compressed, there we say, fine, go ahead and put the wall right up against the other wall because on the internal side it will compress the earth and it will be fine. Whereas when it's a new city, then a new city hasn't been walked on at all. Meaning that there is no compressed earth anywhere. And therefore we need compression on at least one side, and we're going to open up and say leave 4 amot so they can get pressed on the other side. There is no compression yet, and therefore you must leave space, in a sense, in both sides in order to ensure that it does get compressed and give support to the wall. So now Tanan, our Mishnah says hachalunot ben milamanan ben milatan ben miknegdan arba amot. Mishnah says you have to 4 amot. V'tani ala, and we have an explanation. So we have a brice that explains mimalan kadesh liyatzitz vir e. That when it comes to being above, we say it must be more than 4 amot above the window. So a person will not have, if he's within 4 amot, he can lean over the edge of the wall and peek into the window opposite. It will disturb or it will violate the privacy of the person who has the window there. He's an invasion of privacy. Milamatan, if he has it less than 4 amot within 4 amot of the window, shlo yamut, because he can stand on top of the wall. And then v'yirei, he'll look into the window. Again, it'll be an invasion of privacy. Umichnegdam, now this price is explaining our mission, says when it's opposite, shlo yafil, it shouldn't darken, meaning he shouldn't block the light. He has rights to light. Meaning that, and since he has rights to light, when you put up the wall, you're going to darken the lighting that goes into his window. So he has an easement for the light, and since he has an easement for the light, you can't go up and put a wall here and block his lighting. Now, the Braisa does not discuss how far that has to be. Our Mishnah says 4 amot for all of these items. When it comes to the Braisa says 4 amot up and down, that's so that he can't look into the window. But when it comes to distancing for light, the Braisa does not give a shiur. Where it says, obviously, Tamish Leif Abba Mishum Dav Shalom. The Gemara says, wait a minute, the reason that the problem here is because, or you must distance the wall away 4 amot in order to allow light in. Mashum Dabsho, when it comes to compression of the dirt below, that we're not worried about, which will be a problem for Rova's explanation of our Mishnah. The Gemara says, Hachem Mayaskinem Bava Minatzad. The wall we're talking about here is perpendicular. It's not parallel, but perpendicular. So what we're worried about is the width of the wall blocking. I mean, obviously you can walk to the end of a wall when it's perpendicular and still look into the other person's window up and down, and it'll also block the light into the window. The width of the wall will block the light of the window. So that's what we're talking about here. So when it's perpendicular, there's no issue of davsha, of compressing the earth. At the end of the wall, we don't worry about compression of earth. We worry along the line or the length of the wall that you compress the dirt. Svakamo. So Gemara wants to know, okay, according to the Braisa, how far must you distance the wall in order to ensure that the light gets in there? So Amar Yeva Chamuad Ashin Bar Nidvach Mishmei Durov Kemalei Rochav Chalom, that has to be the width of the window. So Gemara says, Valo Meitzitz. What about the fact that he's going to peek into the window? Meaning that, why is it enough that it's Malei Rochav HaChalon that you have to leave it? What about peeking into the window? So Amar Rizid B'Madiret Kotlo. It's a case here where he grades the top of the wall, meaning that the top of the wall is on an angle, and therefore it would not be easy for anyone to stand on the wall and peek in, or for someone to sit or lean over the wall to look in, because the wall has a steep incline on the top, which makes it difficult to sit on. It's equivalent to putting barbed wire on the top of a wall, or on the top, many times they put spikes or very steep steep places on the top. It's very interesting. Anybody who's been to the yeshiva of Philadelphia knows that when they built the yeshiva in particular, they made sure that any flat surface in the yeshiva was actually on an angle, so that the bachrim could not leave svarim around. They'd have to put them back on the shelves, so they made them on an incline on both sides. So what happened? Of course, they put the chairs down, they flipped the chairs down, and they piled all this firm on the chairs. So it didn't help anyway. Didn't our Mishnah explicitly say that the distance you must for lighting must be arba amot? Umar says, that depends what we're talking about here. When we're talking about shnei kotlim zeh keneged zeh, right, and the shnei tzidei chalon are coming from both sides of the chalon, right, then we have to leave the amount of 4 amot. We have to leave enough because there's no way for the lighting to get in. Therefore, we need a distance of 4 amot. When it's only from one side where there's light, the access of light from one side is available, then we do not say that you need a 4 amot. The Brisa suggests that it only has to be k'malai rachav chalon, only the width of the chalon. Tashma. So we have a case. That's our Mishnah coming up. It says that you have to move a wall away from the gutters for a moat. Why do you have to distance the wall from the gutters for a moat? Because actually it's okay if it's sulam, so that he'd be able to climb up on the ladder to fix or to clean out the gutters. So in the same Rashi, when describing what a gutter is, if you look in Rashi, it says, Maskila itzinor gadol, it's a big pipe, ke'en canala, like the word canal. Shalanu, it's like a canal, like our canals, menacha, the orach hakotel, goes along the whole wall. Alakotul, mea gag, and the water from the roof, zavin latocha, it's a gutter, mekalchantana, and then he needs a ladder to go up there, and it says to dredge the gutters, to clean out the gutters, because otherwise the water will not get through when rocks and different, debris falls into the gutter. It says, time mishum sulam. Sounds like in our next mission, the upcoming mission, the reason you must distance from the gutter is in order to provide access to the gutter by a ladder. Aval mishum davsha, but what about the fact that he should have to distance the wall from the other person's wall for a moat just because of the problem of davsha, that he has to impact or they have to compact the dirt that's in between them. So why do you need, in the reason of sulam, just have the fact that, mere fact that you need to compress the earth in between? So where it says, look, hachom ma'iskin, or say, hachom ma'ishum davsha, look, hachom ma'iskin, and what's the case here? Maschila mishupat. It's a case where the roof of the building or the house extends beyond the wall, similar to what we have in our houses today, where the roof doesn't end, the edge of the roof doesn't end right at the wall, but extends above, over, away from the wall, and then there's a gutter. That way, if any water splashes out, it moves away from the foundation of the wall. There's an overhang that's directly against the wall. The problem is not walking right up against the wall there, because since there's an overhang of the roof, people can walk there, they're going to walk there. So the wall is already, by definition, 4 amot away, because of davsha. So the 4 amot that Mishnah is talking about, it means we must be 4 amot distance from the gutter, not from the other wall, because it's already more than 4 amot from the other wall. And that's how we explain it, to uphold Rabbi's position that the issue in this mission that we just discussed is that, oh, but impact or compacting the dirt to support the walls, and that's davsha. That's why you need the 4 amot over here. Okay, we'll stop over here.